Hello and welcome to AMSSM Sports Medcast. As we approach the 2024 AMSSM annual meeting in Baltimore, Maryland, we will continue our mini journal club series highlighting each of the top articles in sports and exercise medicine from 2022 as selected from last spring's annual meeting. I'm your host, Dr. Jeremy Schroeder from Madigan Army Medical Center, and I'm joined today by Dr. Angela Rufo, who is an assistant professor at UMass Chan Medical School, Department of Family Medicine, and faculty of the Primary Care Sports and Exercise Medicine Fellowship. She is a team physician at Clark University, Worcester Public High Schools, Nashuba High School, and Northbridge High School. She enjoys traveling, working out, and spending time with family and friends. She serves as a member of the Top Articles Subcommittee, part of the AMSSM Education Committee. Welcome back once more, Angela.
Thank you for having me.
All right. So our last episode covering articles 11 through 6, we've covered a couple about mental health and physical activity. We've covered some more sports and exercise medicine, looking at concussions along with cardiac structural disease evaluation and workup. And now we're going to get into a couple a lot of us consider bread and butter in our practices, and that's with knee pain and osteoarthritis. We have two different articles here. The first one is article number 8 amongst our top articles, and this is a systematic review by Mojica et al. In the Journal of Arthroscopic and Related Surgery, entitled Estimated Time to Maximum Medical Improvement of Intra-Articular Injections in the Treatment of Knee Osteoarthritis. And then we're also going to look at a JAMA article by Nordun et al. Entitled Effective Physical Therapy Versus Arthroscopic Partial Meniscectomy in People with Degenerative Meniscal Tears. This is a 5-year follow-up of the ESCAPE randomized clinical trial. So, Angela, you see knee pain on a regular basis. Can you break down, before we go into these specific articles, what you're looking for in an article that's going to move the needle for your practice pattern?
Yes. So I'm basically looking for what the quick treatment is, physical therapy versus are we getting surgery for treatment of either if it's a partial meniscus tear versus osteoarthritis. And with those that are choosing the conservative route for osteoarthritis, are we doing cortisone? Are we doing prolotherapy? Are we doing PRP or hyaluronic acid? So yeah, I was looking for something like, what am I going to do for something that will A, give my patients more relief and last longer?
Perfect. So that brings us right into the first one we're going to talk about, article number 8, looking at the time to maximum improvement of intra-articular injections for knee OA. And what did Mojica et al. Find?
So a systematic review was performed to evaluate the maximum medical improvement in minimal clinically importance difference of different injectable treatments for systematic OA. There included 79 studies with 8,761 patients in a randomized control trial, and the mean age was about 61, and the follow-up was about 7 months, 7.3 months.
Cool. So 79 different studies, that's a lot of patients to be seen. Now, they're looking at various different types of injectates. What all was studied through this systematic review?
So we were looking at corticosteroids, hyaluronic acid, platelet-rich plasma, and basically after 4 to 6 weeks, you were seeing VAS score that was lower, or WOMAC score that was lower with corticosteroids. And then as we go further out, up to almost a year, you were seeing leukocyte poor PRP, which provided a lower VAS score and WOMAC score.
Awesome. Now, looking at across the board, amongst all these different things, they almost all seem like they're better than baseline here. Correct. But does one seem to stand out more to you than others?
If we're looking at the VAS score, the leukocyte poor definitely stood out at a year, but it was even pretty low at 6 months. and the lowest score was at 3 months. Whereas if we look at the WOMAC score, you're seeing leukocyte rich being persistently low at 3 months, 6 months, and a year.
Now, I think that's really interesting. A lot of us who use PRP in practice, a lot of the theoretical knowledge that gets passed on has been leukocyte poor PRP seems to be best in intra-articular, and leukocyte rich may be better in soft tissues such as tendons and so forth. So I find it interesting that this meta-analysis is finding that leukocyte rich seems to have the lowest WOMAC score at 1 year compared to others. So we see some benefits with platelet plasma, both at short and long term. What about some of the others that we commonly use, our corticosteroid and hyaluronic acid?
Yeah, so hyaluronic acid, the WOMAC score was definitely lower at 6 weeks and 3 months compared to corticosteroids. And the same thing was also true for the VAS score. But the problem is, as you see, the increase in the scores after 6 weeks and 3 months. So it doesn't really last.
Yeah, it definitely seems to be short term. So taking a look at this systematic review in whole, what do you feel is a worthwhile thing to potentially implement into your daily clinic?
So in an ideal world, if I had patients that could afford platelet-rich plasma and it was approved by FDA, I would do that for all my patients. But unfortunately, I don't have those resources and my patients are unable to afford PRP on a daily basis. So I end up having to go with corticosteroids or hyaluronic acid.
Yeah, and I think it's important that as a call to action that we in the sports and exercise medicine community try to tease out more with some of the regenerative medicine opportunities such as platelet-rich plasma to provide the literature sufficient to show consistent benefit. And hopefully in the future, this will be included in insurance coverage and reimbursement so that all people can be able to have PRP as a therapeutic option. Moving on to number six, and this is looking again with people typically with osteoarthritis that have degenerative meniscal tears. And this is saying, what is better? Is there physical therapy or arthroscopic partial meniscectomy in this population? This is, again, a study from JAMA by Nordun et al. What did this group set out to investigate?
So this is basically comparing arthroscopic partial meniscectomies with exercise-based physical therapy over a 5-year assessment of a patient. So these were patients that were the ages of 45 to 70 with symptomatic degenerative meniscal tears found on MRI. Those that underwent an arthroscopic procedure were given post-operative instructions with home exercises, and those that went to physical therapy went for about 16 sessions over 8 weeks. And then they both completed questionnaires at baseline, 3 months, 6 months, a year, 2 years, and five.
Okay, so 5-year total investigation, but at the time, they just went to PT for about 8 weeks, twice a week. Do you know if there was anything set out, if this was a specific physical therapy or rehab protocol, or did it just state physical therapy, 16 sessions for 8 weeks?
The treatment protocol consisted of physical therapist-led incremental exercise program over a period of 8 weeks, consisting of 16 sessions, 30 minutes each.
Okay, perfect. So there does seem to be some regimented physical therapy that was given to everybody and not just say, hey, they're referred twice a week and physical therapist did, you know, whatever they felt was best care. It was seemed to be a little bit more regimented.
Right.
And then afterwards, they did the questionnaires, not only at baseline, at the 3 months following the completion of this 8-week PT session, but then out to half a year, 2 years, and 5 years. So it's a long time to look at overall outcomes, either with surgery or after physical therapy. What did you find as you looked at the results of this?
Yeah, so I didn't really find much of a difference for their different like function scores once we hit 5 years. The values were pretty similar.
Okay, so looking at being similar results, both in short and long term, what are some things that you could potentially take away from the conclusions of this RCT?
Yeah, so basically, you have a patient coming in with a symptomatic meniscus tear. I wouldn't be the first person to just rush them over to see a surgeon, maybe continuing physical therapy, trying it for at least 3 months, maybe considering a cortisone injection, because in the end, it sounds like in 5 years, they're going to be right back to where they started or similar to that did PT. Versus surgery.
Yeah, I think that's a fantastic takeaway. And it even said that there would seem to be comparable progression from a radiographic standpoint and symptomatology for OA between both the physical therapy and the surgery groups. So doesn't seem to be that much benefit for arthroscopy and meniscectomy in degenerative meniscal tears. And again, we should state that this is not looking at acute meniscal tears. This is degenerative, which is probably part of the osteoarthritis process and the whole. So I agree with you, Angela, that we should maximize physical therapy and overall past physical therapy, just a lifestyle of physical activity, wellness, a good, consistent home exercise program or resistance program to help strengthen the muscles in the lower body, especially to be protective as much as possible in the knee. So, Angela, looking at these two studies on the knee, knowing that knees are kind of your thing and your bread and butter in your clinical practice, you know, how have these two articles helped you in your day-to-day care?
So instead of rushing patients into an injection or even having them talk to a surgeon, I have them just start with physical therapy, home exercises, continuing an active lifestyle, starting with awesome. More conservative measures. Absolutely.
Thank you so much, Angela. I think these are great articles to review and definitely part of our top from 2022. And I really want to thank you for taking the time to speak with us again today.
Thank you, Jeremy.
I would like to thank Dr. Angela Ruffo from the AMSSM's Top Articles Committee. Links to this article can be found in our podcast show notes. I'd also like to thank you, the listener. I hope you have found this time valuable. And if so, please share this podcast with colleagues and help promote the visibility of this product by liking, subscribing, and leaving a quality 5-star review on your preferred listening platform. We hope you'll join us for the 2024 AMSSM annual meeting in Baltimore, Maryland, held in person, but also a virtual attendance option. And join us again soon for the next edition of the AMSM Sports Medcast. The views expressed are theirs alone and do not represent the official policy or position of UMass Chan Medical School, the Department of Defense, Defense Health Agency, or U.S. government.